Welcome to the weekly podcast at Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church. My name is Doc Hollingsworth. I'm senior pastor of this great congregation, and we're delighted that you've joined us. Our prayer for you is that as you listen to this message, you might feel closer to God and closer to God's hope for you.
Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Judges, chapter 10, verses 6 through 17, and may be found on page 199 in your pew Bible. The Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, worshiping the Baals and the Astartes, the gods of Aram, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the Ammonites, and the gods of the Philistines. Thus they abandoned the Lord and did not worship him. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of the Philistines and into the hand of the Ammonites, and they crushed and oppressed the Israelites that year. For 18 years they oppressed all the Israelites that were beyond the Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. The Ammonites also crossed the Jordan to fight against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was greatly distressed. So the Israelites cried to the Lord, saying, "We have sinned against you because we have abandoned our God and have worshipped the Baals." And the Lord said to the Israelites, "Did I not deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites, from the Ammonites and the Philistines? The Sidonians also, and the Amalekites and the Maonites oppressed you, and you cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet you have abandoned me and worshipped other gods. Therefore, I will deliver you no more. Go and cry to the gods whom you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your distress." And the Israelites said to the Lord, "We have sinned. Do to us whatever seems good to you, but deliver us this day." So they put away the foreign gods from among them and worshipped the Lord. And he could no longer bear to see Israel suffer. Then the Ammonites were called to arms, and they encamped in Gilead. And the Israelites came together, and they encamped at Mizpah.
You notice that the other male clergy joined the men's choir. I was asked to keep my seat and recognize my limits. Across the Sundays of Lent, we've been walking through the stories of the Old Testament book of Judges. Five Sundays full of betrayal and violence and rebellion and second chances. And it's been a worthy focus for the time of Lent to be reminded that sin has real consequence, but also to be reminded that the God who loves us has a long history of forgiveness and second chances and redemption. The book of Judges is the story of 13 judges who rule over Israel for a total of 450 years. We are looking at five of those 13 judges. Week one, we heard the story of Ehud. Week two, Deborah. Last week, John preached a wonderful sermon on Gideon. And today, it is the betrayal that led up to God's raising up Jephthah as judge over Israel. You might think that the book of Judges feels a little bit like the movie Groundhog Day, right? It's like, didn't we just do this? Wasn't this exact? Or maybe it's more like Gilligan's Island, right? I mean, you remember the Gilligan's Island episode where they almost got off the island, but right at the end, Gilligan did something really dumb, and it blew their chances, and they were stuck all over again? Do you remember that episode? Of course you do. That was every episode. And Judges plays the same way, right? Do you remember the story in Judges where Israel forsakes the Lord and serves other gods? Then the Lord delivers them into the hands of the enemy. And then the Israelites call on the Lord in their misery, and God sends a judge to deliver them. Do you remember that story? Well, of course you do, because that's been every single story we've heard. And today's starts just like all of them. Did you notice? The Israelites, again, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. You probably saw that coming. But today's story does vary from the others. There is an unexpected twist coming. The Israelites entered into another season of betrayal. They're worshiping the idol gods that surround the culture. They've turned their back on the worship of Yahweh. The Lord's anger is kindled. God delivers them into the hands of the Philistines and Ammonites for 18 years. This time, not one hostile enemy, but two hostile nations, the Ammonites invading from the east, the Philistines from the west. So the Israelites cry out to God, saying, "We have sinned against you because we have abandoned our God and worshiped the Baals." So far, this story is going according to formula, right? This is what we've heard each time. But then we're thrown this curve. This is the part we didn't see coming. God says to them, "Did I not deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Ammonites, from the Amorites, from the Philistines, the Sidonians also, the Amalekites, the Maonites oppressed you. You cried out to me. I delivered you out of their hand. You have abandoned me, worshiped other gods. Therefore, I will deliver you no more. Go and cry to the gods whom you've chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your distress." I'm done. We didn't see that coming, did we? God's fed up. God is fed up with our sin and how easily we'll go back to our favorite sins that feel so good. God's fed up with this pattern of, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'll never do it again. Really, I'm so sorry. I mean it this time." God's fed up. Seven times the Israelites betray. Seven times God hears their cry. Seven times God delivers them from the consequences of their sin. Enough's enough. God is fed up with this ongoing pattern of selfishness that will not quit. And God says, "No more. Stop crying to me. Why don't you cry out to the gods you are really worshiping and see if they have the power to deliver you?" Well, by the way, the gods of the surrounding culture do not have the power to deliver. I know a little more about the gods they were worshiping than I did the last time I was with you. So let me tell you about my search. I was curious. I wanted to know about this list of neighboring gods. I spent an afternoon going down the Google rabbit hole, looking at the gods of Aram and Sidon and Moab and the Ammonites, all seven listed here. And then, it takes a while, because once you get into that Wikipedia rabbit hole of all the gods of Moab, then you have to click on all the particular gods of Moab individually, Nebu and Chemosh, and on and on and on. I had a legal pad out. I had the gods of the Amorites and the gods of... This just went on and on and on and on and on. I'm scratching on my legal pad. Dagon is the god of crop fertility and grain. And only preacher nerds would spend a whole afternoon, right, taking notes on Astartes. Well, I won't do a comprehensive list, and none of this will be on the test. But let me synthesize what I learned about what people were worshiping back then. When they turned away from Yahweh, the God of Israel, and started worshiping the gods of the surrounding culture, let me tell you what they were worshiping. The Baals and Dagon and the gods of Aram were the worship of fertility, rain, seasons, thunderstorms, grain, and crops. In other words, they were worshiping what contributed to their economic production. Astartes and the gods of Sidon involved the worship of beauty, healing, the renewal of life, and sexuality. Nabu, they worshiped literacy and the pursuit of knowledge, scribes, and wisdom. Chemosh, they worshiped the god of military victory and conquest. Isn't this primitive? How primitive and silly these ancient cultures were, who had, can you imagine? They're worshiping something as primitive as worshiping beauty, the pursuit of knowledge, medical cures, sex, military power, and economic gain. Now just try to imagine a people who had turned away from the worship of the Creator, Holy God, and were now in a frenzied pursuit of beauty and knowledge and medical cures and sex and power and economic gain. Oh, as Jesus said, for those who have ears to hear. For the first time in Judges, when the people cry out, God does not deliver them. Instead, God says, keep worshiping what the larger culture worships. See how that works out for you. I'll deliver you no more. Go and cry to the gods whom you have chosen. Let them deliver you in your time of distress. God is fed up. When I was growing up, one of my best friends on my street, David, lived just a few houses down. He was a year older than me on Live Oak Drive in Doraville, Georgia. But he had a brother who was 8 years older than him, I think, 9 years older than me, something like that, Tommy. So Tommy was out of the house by the time we were 10, 11 years old. Tommy had a quick success as a drug manufacturer's rep. And very quickly, in his 20s, he's making more money than any of our parents were making at the time. One day, Tommy shows up in the driveway in the most beautiful 1976 Porsche 911, red with tan interior. It was wow, right? And David and I, just when he would drive up, we just wanted to go sit in it. And by this time, we're teenagers, but he hadn't letting us drive it. He would drive us around, though. Gosh, it was so wonderful. I mentioned we're in high school by the time the Porsche shows up. We were also in high school when he shows up with Kelly in the Porsche, and that created a real dilemma for David and me. Now we're torn between looking at the 911 and Kelly. Not real clear which was more beautiful. Tommy seemed to have everything. And David talked about Tommy all the time. He'd call me or run over to the house to tell me that Tommy and Kelly were visiting so I could go and we could just envy together. Tommy was driven and successful, but he had no time for issues of faith. He was too busy booking flights and dining customers and closing deals. And one day, Tommy and the red Porsche drove up to the driveway, but without Kelly. They had split up. We didn't talk much about it. I never knew the story why. I'm not sure what happened. But Tommy came by with plenty of other women, all equally stunning, none of them as nice as Kelly. He lost his job with that company. We didn't talk about that either. It was one of those hush-hush things. But somewhere around the edges of that, I heard that cocaine was involved. Anyway, he wasn't out of work long before he landed with a competitor. He's soon back on top, if this is what you call being on top. His trips to his mother became more infrequent. we just became an afterthought. I didn't see him much after a while. I graduated, went to college, completely lost touch, hadn't thought about Tommy in 25 years. When about 10 years ago, Melissa and I went to a nice restaurant here in Buckhead and ran into Tommy, and he looked great. He had on a beautiful suit, and I don't know which wife number he was on, but she was beautiful too. An empty sadness just overcame me when I saw him. It was warm, and we were glad to see each other, but when I hugged him goodbye, I just felt this hollowness, like the guy that I envied so much is now somebody I pity. It just all felt empty. He worshiped the Baals, beauty and knowledge, medical cures and sex, power and economic gain. He worshiped the Baals, and they did not have the power to save him. The Lord said, I will deliver you no more. Go and cry to the gods whom you've chosen. Let them deliver you in your time of distress. But they do not have the power to save. There seems to be an inconsistency in today's story, doesn't there? We've been saying each week how God stands ready to forgive, eager to redeem, arms outstretched, eager to save. And story after story, the Israelites cry out to God. God's mercy prevails. God offers forgiveness and a second chance. And then today, we get through that cycle. God says, no, I'm fed up. I've had enough of your selfish pursuits. Well, still, the Israelites recognized that what they were doing wasn't working. They needed to make some change. And so they did turn back to God, the one who had delivered them so many times in the past. Quoting, so they put away the foreign gods from among them and worshiped the Lord. But the story where God says, I've had enough, still ends with a deeper divine consistency. The ending is actually another display of God's mercy and grace. The final verse of our reading says, and I'm quoting, and he could no longer bear to see Israel suffer. As any parent understands, our children bear the consequences of their rebellion. We get fed up. We just had all we can take. But when they come back home, we can no longer bear to see our children suffer, arms outstretched. So like every story in this Lenten season, God's outstretched arms are, in the end, offering a new start even this time. If you are insistent on worshiping the gods of Baal, they will not save you. If a new wife and a new 9/11 were enough to save us, Tommy would still be my idol. But the truth is, his hollowness is the plight of every person who worships the gods of the surrounding culture. The Lord said, go and cry to the gods whom you've chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your distress. But you and I both know they have no power to save. If they did, Buckhead would be the most joyful community in all of Georgia. The good news is that God's consistent mercy remains eager to save those who put away the gods of the surrounding culture and come home to God's love and deliverance. And any time you are convinced that the gods of Baal have no power to save, God stands always ready to receive you home. Thanks be to God. Thanks for joining us. If you live in the Atlanta area or visiting Atlanta, come and worship with us in person on Sundays at Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church.